dodgy.
We are so lucky to have Chris Young here. Hastings Comedy Festival. Or the festival, Comedy of Hastings, what are you?
Yeah, it's Hastings Comedy Festival, but it used to be a longer name than that. We changed it. Yeah, it was Hastings Fringe Comedy Festival.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because there was a Hastings Fringe, which was run by the fantastic Heather Alexander, and then, so we didn't kind of realise that was happening, so we're like, oh, and then we just changed it to Hastings Comedy Festival.
Okay.
So the last 3 years, but it was just too long, Hastings Fringe, it was too long, it's too long to say.
Yeah, 3 words is enough, isn't
it? Yeah, it was... Make it into an acronym or something. You know, come and see the HFC.
HFC. What could that be?
Different stuff.
I think that's already been taken on. It's HUFC, isn't it? Hastings United Football Club.
Mm-hmm. I think it should be an acronym. The Americans love it.
They love it.
They love an acronym. If you go over there, everything's just like, speaking acronyms.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
FYI, that's right.
Or WTF. But we'll carry on.
It's so amazing to be here in this lovely space.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's all kind of systems go really with the festival in particular. It's next month. It starts next Monday.
Wow.
This Monday coming.
Wow.
And we're ready just about. It's just me and Jake that run it. So we're like, and it's part time. So people think that there's this like huge team of people. Mm. Even when we sign it off, like, see you soon, fringe team. It's usually just me or Jake that's writing that. But I can't put my name to it and say, oh, see you later, Chris. Because people are like, why is there one person who writes back to it? But so that starts on Monday.
Yeah.
With 93 shows coming to town. So there'll be 130 acts coming to town within 7 days.
I went through them all and I was looking at everything that was coming on and it was like, oh, another lot. Oh, another lot.
Another page.
Astonishing how many people.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was less than 2019. COVID really like knocked the wind out of us for performing arts.
Yeah.
Just in general. But it's taken us like 5 years to get back with 120 shows in 2019. But that's probably too many. Jake will say the same. We kind of a little bit over diluted it now. But last year we had 81 shows go ahead and 63 sold out. So that was really incredible to see. A lot of festivals don't always do that. A lot of acts are kind of aware of that. So we just want them to have a good time. We want them to come down, like fundamentally have a good time. It's not just about, you know, taking funds off people, and you know we want to have full rooms of people, and when we achieve that, so yeah, Monday morning I'll be collecting chairs from Battle, 170 chairs, and then John Bowness is loaning me his van.
Oh,
you know,
good on you, John.
Absolutely,
Mr. Hastings.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a van driving around, dropping off chairs and equipment, and just setting up all the venues, and then people just finish their day and then they come down, and that Monday is always really busy, and then Tuesday's busy, and it just gets busier and busier into the and then it shuts down, and then we're like, we're done, it's quiet. Pick up the pieces.
So I saw you at Hastings tonight.
Yeah,
you were up there talking. And where in the country do we feature in the size of our comedy festival?
It's up there. I mean, there's so many popping up now. We started this just so that we feel like 2015 onwards is like this new golden age of comedy. Like, we saw this kind of in the mid-90s. And not to say it wasn't great, but I feel the standard of comedy from like 2010, 2015 onwards, we kind of hit it at the right time, which allowed us to have that really good bit of growth, although that took 4 years to get us anywhere close to where we are now. But I'd say we like top 4 or 5 comedy festivals. They're independently run in the UK, is this festival. So, you know, a lot of them, like Brighton,
really
Leicester. I mean, Leicester's the biggest in England for sure by a mile. And obviously Edinburgh is in Scotland. So that we draw that hadrons. But, you know, Camden's fantastic. Mm. There's all sorts of festivals and fringes coming. But a specific comedy festival that's run by two independent, you know, with pretty much zero funding.
Yeah.
It's probably up there, if not one of the top ones.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can't take us by surprise. We just thought we'd just grow it organically each year, just get it organically grown.
Mm.
One more venue, maybe one more venue, you know. And so our aim in the next 5-10 years is just to get this to maybe 2 weeks long.
Yeah.
But that's probably too much for everyone, really. This town won't accommodate it. There's so many festivals in this town.
Mm.
This week, from the second week in June, is literally the only space.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just I think there's like 40, there's more festivals per capita in Hastings than anywhere in Europe.
That is,
I think there's like 45 or 50 festivals in this town per year, which is more than any other But I also found out that Hastings is the only town that we're up of 90,000 people that doesn't have a dual carriageway. As well.
We know all about that, don't we, children? We know we don't.
I like the A21, but people coming down, and also Southern Rail, if you're listening to Southern Rail, please sort out a train later than 9:50.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes.
Because people want to come to our town and people want to also leave our town.
I totally agree.
It's 9:50, so you know, our shows finish or start at 10 to 11. So we've got to accommodate acts in hotels that don't drive, that live in London, because of the trains just unable to.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue.
Yeah, that's frustrating, we're on it. Maybe we can have some leverage if we get some mainstream media. We'll raise that. Hey, Southern Rail, give us a train.
Yeah.
Give us a carriage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they get special ones for Pride, don't they, in Brighton? They get special trains. They get lots of special stuff. When they've
got a comedy carriage.
Oh, my goodness, the comedy carriage.
What have we just done?
We have created a comedy carriage.
I was saying before we went on about these ideas, me and a friend of mine wanted to set up a diner called One Liner Diner.
Yes, please.
It's
happening.
So
it
would be food, and you have one-liners, and they're just playing, we'd pay them really
sandwich
well.
Sandwich and puns.
It would just be great. I've got so many good acts that we'd the one-liner diner. We'll see.
Have you lived here long
food
yourself?
And
I've lived here pretty much all of my life. Oh. So I was born in Luton, Bedfordshire. Mm-hmm. And I came here when I was 18 months old, independently.
Picture right.
Every
bag.
Luton's a railway station. I wish Luton Comedy Festival there. It wouldn't be the same.
No.
And then I moved away when I was 16 to Cornwall for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then realised.
You'd have to.
Yeah. And then I just came back and was like, oh, there's no money in Cornwall. There's nothing in Cornwall, really. Yeah.
No.
So I came back. So I'm 37 now. I've lost my birth certificate years ago. I'm 37. So pretty much 30 odd years I've lived here.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you, Sue? What's your living in this beautiful part of St Leonard's?
Well, thank you. Lived in Hastings for 10 years. So moved here in 2015.
You're a local now.
So now I guess I might be a local. It takes 6 years in London. I'm not quite sure if that's even true anymore. My son's born here now and, right now.
It's the best place to live in it. It really is. It's a bit of a hidden gem, but you see these papers come out and say, oh, it's Shoreditch by the Sea. None of those.
No, it's Hastings and St Leonard's. It is no one else's thing.
Yeah.
London by itself. Stop that.
You know the divide, people talk about the Hastings St Leonard's divide. So I grew up in. Wait until they hear about West St Leonard's. Wait until they hear about West St Leonard's, then there'll be some real kind of. Some issues there, but
it's a great bit of town.
It's just the best part of town.
Yeah, is that where you are?
No, I'm actually down by the park.
Oh,
yeah. So I've been there for 13 years now.
Have you?
And my landlord just leaves me alone.
Oh,
which is the best landlord to have.
Yeah,
a landlord that just leaves you alone.
Mm.
Yeah, she might not be still alive. I'm just paying my rent, and it's like, am I still? Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, they look after me. I'm a good tenant.
There you go.
And then perhaps the 80s, was it you?
Early 80s.
Mm. Oh, you're original.
You
meet someone that says, oh, I was born in the
UK. I call it the Delu. It's not the Deluxe, it's the Delu.
The Delu.
Yeah. That's when you know you're a local.
Yeah, exactly.
No, my kids were all born in the Buchanan.
Mm.
Buchanan is a native.
It is a native.
Especially the Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. My birth certificate says Luton Beds, like I was born in the bed shop.
No, you don't. It's not right. It's just wrong. In a bed. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, talk to us about what it's like comedy-wise. Because we went... So our first Fringe was Romesh Ranganathan down at the Marina Fountain with
Abandoned Man.
Wow, was that with Under Slice? Do you remember Slice?
I think it might be
St Leonard's Improv Comedy Club. That was one of my first gigs I went to.
Thank you. One of the first one you went to.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the first kind of real established ones. There was the Crown House as well. They had up there, the Crown House.
Right.
A brief show was at the Cactus Hound Bar. This is going back about.
Yeah.
This is going back years.
It is going back a long time.
So
before Romesh got on the telly.
Yeah, but still very good.
Yeah.
You get to see. Very similar to art festival really. It's like people, we've had comedians like Maisie Adam, who's come and done the Jenny Lind for us, and there was like 25, 30 people in there. And then she come back the next year. And so, you know, you really kind of follow people on their journey. And a lot of them come back. So yeah, you get to see, you know, to see like Russell Hicks perform to 35 people at the Pump House like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just, it's real special, like when you're surrounded by people and the comedians are right in front of you.
Yeah.
There's just no better. No. I went to go see Shane Gillis at the O2 and I was, you know, for 50, 60 pound a ticket, you're pretty far back, right? I love Shane Gillis. I just couldn't feel connected
to what he was
saying, because I was like, you know, who's down there?
Yeah.
You know, at the O2. So when you're like locked into the Albion and you've got like a TV comedian in front of you, it's just it's a special feeling.
And we're so lucky here, because what people don't appreciate, we were in Barnaby's a couple of months back, and there were a load of Londoners there for, it was one of the Custard Caravan nights, and you sat there bewildered, and Louise Whittam was doing her thing. But there was somebody there, that she'd come from London especially, because it was Louise's birthday, and they said, I've got to get up. And she took the mic and she said, you don't realise, living in Hastings, how lucky you are. You've got all your pubs are virtually live music or comedy or entertainment venues.
Yeah.
That's shut down in London to the large extent.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and pubs are closing hand over fist. Mm. They won't let pubs close here.
Yeah.
That's true. If they close, everyone's looking out and going, what could that be now?
Yeah. What's next,
it's a bit like the Welly in the High Street.
Mm.
It's like people have got their eye on it.
It always goes back. It will never be a block of flats going back into a pub. It'll always be there. It'll always be like, it's like entropy. Everything, and it ends up coming down to its kind of lowest denominator. So, for example, like this town used to be full of, Jake's going to hate me for saying this, but this town used to be full of York stone.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And then
it did.
And then the road companies took it all up, and they give you slabs. And then when the slabs break, they give you tarmac.
Tarmac.
So what I'm saying is, it goes. The tarmac will never go back to slabs, and slabs will never go back to York stone.
No.
So once we lose a pub, it turns into a block of flats or whatever. It will never be like, should we just turn this block of flats back into a boozer?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to keep our pubs. I think if any more close, we should all just not let that happen.
Do a sit-in.
We would do a sit-in. Mm. Do an old school lock-in.
We could squat.
We could squat. We could be in
and
out.
A drunken squat. What pub would you choose, though? What's the best?
Oh, best squat. That's difficult, isn't it?
If the Jenny Lynn closes, I'll be in there squatting.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do have a very good pump, though, don't
really
they?
Really good still cider.
Yeah.
Like an 8% Hogfather.
The smelly stuff.
You're right, though. The difference between the London pubs or, you know, elsewhere, quiet towns, whatever. Not that London's quiet, but there's always a sign saying, please, you know, leave. And there are some saying leave quietly, but mostly it's kind of, you're all right to
I love
to,
those
to
leave
breathe.
Quietly. Those leave quietly signs are great. Like if you're inebriated and you're just like,
you're not going to read it.
Sharon, it says leave quietly.
Shut up!
I love, but that's their way of saying it. We tried.
And everyone says, shh.
Really loud.
Yeah,
it's
going to
wake you up.
That
wakes
everybody up.
And the frequency of a shh, it carries. It's a real piercing noise, isn't it?
It does. And all of those alleyways, where all the pubs are, the events are, they're really good amplifiers, aren't they?
Yeah.
So as you're walking down, don't wait for me. It's just some tart falling off her heels walking down the road. That is not me anymore, but that is it is how we are, isn't it?
We've got our own beer this summer, this week, next week.
Ooh. Talk to us about your own beer. You
so
have your own beer.
Lovely people from Lake Down Brewery. I think it was set up from Simon from the Jenny Lind to set up a little tap takeover. And then part of that was that Lake Down were going to give us a best bitter.
Yep.
Wits End.
Oh,
nice.
Yes, that's going to be exclusive at the Jenny Lynn for that week.
Nice.
And we've never had our own beer.
Yeah, that's really lovely.
Yeah. I don't even really particularly like bitter.
Oh,
I'll try it. I tried Guinness for the first time like last year.
Oh,
first time.
Was it in Ireland?
No, it was in the Albion.
In the Albion.
But the
second best.
Yeah, because my comedian friends from Ireland came over and they want to know how long the line is.
Yeah.
From the, you know, how long's your line from the, and if it's longer than a certain feetage, then they're like, Perfect. So they seal approval, gave the Albion a top notch for that's why I had it, and then I've probably had four pints since. But yeah, Guinness is
it's like a meal though, isn't it?
It is like a 40 sip or a complan.
It is.
Fortified.
Yeah. 40 sips.
Funny enough, it's less calories than a bitter or a lager. If you look it up, it's not a lot in it, but you think you'd have loads of calories in it, and it's less.
Mm. And that's it. No more questions, Joanna. That's it. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
More excuses to get Guinness. Yeah.
So, what made you start?
Oh, the festival.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really. How much time have we got?
As long as you like.
I'll keep it brief. So I've been doing performing comedy like all of my life.
Oh, you are a comedian.
Yeah.
Because you can tell you're funny.
Thank you. It might not come across on camera, but. But yeah, so like just my whole life has just been skits, comedy, writing. Mm. I used to write for other comedians, like when I was down in Cornwall. It's like 19, 20, and I would just go and see stuff and write some sets and be like, oh, look, you know. But it wasn't until I was like 24 that I was like, actually, I'm going to go do this myself. Mm. And then just doing Brighton Fringe, going up and doing gigs in like London and stuff, and I was like, this town is so set up and ready. And bear in mind, it was also linking into what I felt like was this new kind of golden age of comedy. Mm. And I felt like we could innovate, we could move things forward, we could really design like a festival from the ground up as a performer. So fundamentally, I won't have a venue come on board unless I feel like I perform there myself. It's not just like, here's a room, here's some space, give us some funds and then just crack on. It was like, you know, even like me and Jake talk about, if the room isn't like full of people, it's getting there, we start, most festivals, they just give you a space and they just like, you know, crack on. So yeah, it started from the idea of, I feel like we could add value to the comedy scene that is just emerging. Yes. And we got in there at the right time. I think if you set up a comedy festival now, you'd do fine. Mm. But there's so many barriers to overcome. But yeah, so the first one, 2016, me and Jake walking down George Street, and I was like, we're going to do something next year. We're going to bring some friends back. So we had about 35 acts on 2016, on June, on the day of the EU referendum.
We were there.
It was raining, and it was such
a miserable day.
It was such a miserable day, and we were like, have we made a mistake? And then it comes to like 8 o'clock when everyone had finished voting, and then they all just came down, and it was like...
We were at the Electric Palace. So we'd been to the Jenny, we'd done that, we'd voted, we were commiserating in the Albion with two friends, Nadine, if you're watching, from Africa. And it was one of those moments, we've got to go and do something to alleviate this, whatever this torture we felt at the time.
Yeah.
You probably landed that just right in a weird way.
I think so. It was a real proof of concept. And then from that, I mean, we didn't have, and we continue to have, you know, limited funds that come in. We operate on 1% of what big festivals operate on.
Wow.
Yeah. And we went to the World, me and Jake went to the World Fringe Congress last year. I was in Sweden, and we got invited. There's 300 other fringe runners across the world, and 60 of us all met up from all over the world, like Australia, Canada, the Azores, Spain, Italy, South America. We all met up and hashed ideas out. And when you've got 60 people, 100 people, like, all hashing ideas out, you know, what comes out of that is this new phoenix of like production that we took some really good advice from them. But they were saying that on like a global average, like festivals sell out 45% of their festival, when our festival hit 72% last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was saying to some of the big kind of festivals, like, why don't you just, and they were like, oh, we're gonna only have like 1,000 shows next year. And I was like, oh, why don't you do 800? And then and then boost that from 45 to 60. But sometimes people, they're so commercially involved, they can't afford to be like, no, we need to keep going and keep going.
Yeah.
And so our model is, even with our poster and program, it doesn't tell you anything about what it is.
No.
It tells you nothing.
No, exactly.
So like, sometimes you'll have posters that will have like the date is 80%. It's like September the 9th. And people in March don't think, what are we doing in September?
That's true.
So they don't think that way. Mm. So we've asked that, and linking in with Georgie Wheeler, who is one of the best designers I've worked with. She's fantastic. She's... Although I think her ginger dog Ronnie is the designer, and she is just the creative vessel of which the dog she interprets channels, the dogs. Yeah. So I think Ronnie is the real.
She's channeling Ronnie, really.
100%. Yeah. I'm onto her.
Well, he's ginger.
He's just fantastic. Ginger. Just a great dog. Mm.
Dogs are Hastings.
I know 100 dogs by first name.
Oh,
honestly,
it's important. You'll know their birthdays sooner.
That's a lot. Mm. But you've set something up. Yeah, what's your dog's birthday? It's weird, isn't it? Is your dog a Pisces? Yeah,
exactly.
That's like a Pisces. So
is he romantic? Does he send flowers?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back and let you know
this
how
is
I get
what
on
we
with
need
that.
To know.
Yeah. So this one does graphic design, and
so it was kind of like, it's kind of, what is it? When is it? What is it? Who is it? What is it? No, I'm getting that wrong. What I'm trying to say is that the art brings people in, and they go, "What is that? Mm. Who is that? When is that?"
Mm.
As opposed to the dates are really small in there. So, and that works for us. So people, no,
curiosity.
When you see these like on the side of the road, people don't know what it is until they see a program and say, "I've just seen that design," and that. So it ends up being, it's like what big brands do. Like you see a big M.
Of course.
You know that's McDonald's.
Yeah.
But they don't have like burgers and chips because you know when you see that. It's
already associated.
You associate it. So we try the same with our artwork, where all along the seafront we've paid for these spaces on the blackboards
you
the council
assume.
Do. And then so people were like, what is that?
Yeah.
It doesn't, and then they're like, it's a comedy film. So that's our style. We'll see if that's...
It's called subliminal linguistic.
I love that.
So
there we go.
So you drip feed something which has no meaning.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, then it builds a meaning through association.
Exhibit A.
An emblem. Yeah, there you go.
And that's worked on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for the last 3 years, we've done that because we think that Georgie's artwork should take up 95% of our space.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes everything from the last 10 years. So there's a paper aeroplane here, which is a really significant part of. So we had this thing called the Comedy Shack, which was built in George Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a comedian called Callie Beaton who was performing.
Yes,
on
I love Callie Beaton. So much.
She's great.
I watch her every day.
Yeah, so her Namaste, the podcast that she's got.
Yeah.
She done a
lovely dog. She
had a show at the Comedy Shack, Lovely Summer's Day.
Yeah.
And then on the top you've got the walkway. Someone had thrown a paper airplane down. I don't know how it came down and landed on the stage. And she was like, and she went to open it, and another one came down. And the first one said, "Oh, don't give up." And she's like, "Thank you. Your day job." it came down, it was the perfect sequel. Both airplanes could have just not done what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the second one ish opened, your day job, it didn't make sense.
No.
So we included the airplanes to signify
that.
And then I think she wrote about it in The Guardian saying it was the weirdest gig ever.
That's fantastic.
I guess you're performing in an outdoor space made of cable ties and wood and scaffolding.
Yeah.
It is weird,
sure.
But hopefully that comes back if it's not wrapped up in red tape. But so each here contains something over.
She gets a lot of heckle, doesn't she, Callie Beaton?
Yeah, I mean, she's very good at her job, which
she's
is
so
yeah,
good.
She's shut anyone down if she needs to, for sure.
Small, ginger, feisty, we're back there again.
You could be sisters, though.
We could be sisters. Yeah. We could be sisters. I love Callie Beaton so much. Oh.
How do you split it between you and Jake? Is there a, do you kind of come together and organise bits or take
if,
the...
If there was two me's, it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It really wouldn't. And maybe the same for Jake. Like, we both bring our own like qualities of how we delegate each part of it, and
we've
got a so all of the designing in terms of the program is done by a guy called Darren, who actually is now the director of Fast Print.
Oh, cool.
Gave Darren Darren got a shout out this morning.
He's
being telepathic for our printing.
Double
he's
shout
very
out.
Funny. He's had a double shout out, Darren.
Darren,
you've seen it twice. Fast Print, Genzing Road.
Yeah.
Because he was very funny. We put our order in for cards, and he said, "I'm supposed to know how many you want, but I do know, don't I? I absolutely know."
Yeah.
And we had a bouncing back of emails, which was very funny.
And we just leave him this opportunity to design this, and he just comes back to us with, "How about this? Done."
So he. Oh.
Yeah. So Darren actually put all this together. So the front cover's by Georgie.
Yeah.
And the kind of branding elements of it, but the actual inside of the how it's structured and how it is
love
all,
how
is
it's
all Darren.
Done.
Yeah.
These. These are great.
Yeah, it's
I like this a lot.
It's really cool. People collect these.
I'm not sure.
So we had a competition with that. We might do it this year. So if you share a picture of us of a program you've got from, say, like if you've got a 2016 one, we will give you 10 free tickets to a show of your choice.
Excellent. Yeah.
Because they're rare. I've only got one of them. If you've got like a 2017, 18, 19 one, if you've got a 2020 poster, which the festival, it did go ahead, it's actually I think it might have been the UK's first online comedy festival in 2020.
Okay, yeah.
But there's a poster that's still out there. If you've got a 2020 poster for the festival that didn't happen, then there's prizes. So people collect them because they just, you know, so that's here's the page of the
brilliant.
Yeah, centerfold.
If you've got this poster, this is the 2016 poster. If you've got that poster,
you're in for life.
Well, our first program had a massive spelling mistake on it. I can't. Yeah. So with certain words, I will read something a thousand times, and I will go yep, and then a word will sneak in that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And on the front of the program, the word comedian was spelt wrong. It was spelled comedienne, as in the kind of feminine way of saying comedienne.
Oh, comedienne. Mm.
And I was like, and Jake was like, how many have we printed? I was like 3,000 programs. And he was like, well, maybe we can make a joke saying that it's a women's only comedy festival. But so that I can't even look at that program anymore. So even in this one, there's a spelling mistake in it.
It's a hard thing.
So proofreading things is difficult. But going back to, so me and Jake delegate.
It's so important to do, though.
I know, and Jake's so good at that. If I was left to proofread this, it would be a shambles. But Jake's very methodical with going through things. So Jake does lots of admin stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll do lots of linking in with the acts. Jake will speak to the agents. Mm-hmm. All the square orange tiles that you've done, I do them myself, hand independently. I actually do it on my phone. I don't have like a design background, so I'm just going to get an app called PixArt, and I'm going to do it on PixArt. So I'm like using my finger and going, all right. Like, someone's like, you should get a tablet. I'm like, no, okay, with these, my finger's gone down to a nub. but we have a good working relationship, me and Jake. We used to work together when we was at, I used to work in residential support for autistic young adults.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we first met.
Why does that not surprise me?
That was the best fun of any job I've ever had. We used to be like, or one of the clients would say, or the residents would say, I want to go on holiday. And his parents would be like, he's never been on holiday before. And he's like, okay, so let's spend the next 9 months working out what this holiday's going to look like. And we end up taking an individual to Brittany in France to a campsite. And we had the best time. Health and social care doesn't pay much money.
No.
So it was really around the residents and the staff, and I ended up being a team leader, so a senior supervisor there. Yeah. So I was in control of the budget. We'd have like a fish and chip Friday night. We'd have all sorts. And then when I left, even this is going back about 12 years ago now, some of the staff that are still there was like, we had the best time when you was just, because I just make it really fun, you know. And but it didn't pay any money, so I had to just move on. But that's where we met, and I would, is what it is.
Is he a funny guy?
Jake.
Well?
Jake wouldn't class himself as a comedian, but he is definitely gets stuck in with all sorts of, I'll give Jake an idea and he'll be like, that's a great idea. That's also not a great idea. It's like, why is that?
It's
certain things I want to try and do and do pop-ups in this town that the council probably will not like. And then Jake's like, if you do that, just don't tell me you're going to do that. And I'm like, okay, that's a barometer of maybe I shouldn't do that. But I just like to have fun with things. And I think this town kind of embodies that. It's a really fun town. I think as soon as you enter Hastings, there's just something about the kind of the people and the something in the coffee. There's something in this reishi coffee that everyone's slinging coffee beans out. And there's the sourdough starters that
that's
are just
it.
Being passed
banana
around.
Banana bread, sourdough, it all happens. It's so bougie in that way, but that's hilarious, isn't it?
That's it. I think that's why people like to come to this town, just for the sourdough starters or the kombucha.
That's it.
I've been given so many kombucha starters. Honestly, there are like three on my window that are just like, "Are you gonna feed me?" And I'm like, "I don't know." I've got houseplants that are like, "Are we gonna get some?" And I'm like, "Have some kombucha if you want." So I've got a yucca that's high on kombucha juice at the minute. It's like, and you can't kill a yucca.
No,
it's impossible. I've tried.
No, I've tried.
You can't do it. Honestly, it's like I'll put it to a cattery.
Oh, so you've got a week. How long is the festival?
Seven days.
7 days a week, isn't it?
Monday and Tuesday kind of just gears up. But yeah. Monday and Tuesday, we sold out every seat of every show last year, Monday, Tuesday. Oh, and then when someone says, like, oh, tickets are going fast, and it feels a really cliche thing to say when you're, as a promoter, like, tickets going fast, they generally are. And I also really hate turning people away. Like, it's happened a couple of times where last year, like, a couple came all dressed up, look, they had a babysitter, and then the male counterpart of that couple didn't buy tickets. And she was like, I thought you could buy tickets. And he was like, I just thought I could turn up. And I was like, look, okay, you two can come in.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, it just makes me feel, I was like, oh, guys, it all sold out. And so if you do buy tickets, because it is busy. And we're hoping for maybe like an 80% festival sellout this year. Yeah. And then the media can't deny us.
No.
Mm-hmm. So we just keep going until they're like, hey, what are you guys up to? It's like, oh, we've been doing this 10 years now.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, I mean, I didn't know. My first gig with the Fat Tuesday was when Skunk and Ancy were at the Carlisle, which was like year five.
It was.
And so people will say, oh, you know, it can't be that good. I've only just heard of it with Bar Festival. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to that, really. It's like we haven't got the budget to really... We only pinch. We haven't got the budget to print loads of stuff and go on television and radio and stuff like that. But
well, this is partly why we've set this up.
This is the best. You guys, your independents have actually supported us incredibly so far this year. Mm-hmm. It's been great. So
and the rest will come, I think. You know,
That kind of has to. But then we can decide whether we talk to them.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
we've got the chips now.
But independence, supporting independence is what makes a lot of the guerrilla work that goes on here makes it work really well, because you're getting out to the people who really really need to hear it. You're not people. To be perfectly honest, if they're opening a newspaper and they're looking, maybe they're just not the people. The people you want are the people who are talking to each other.
I think that's it. I think you know, the town. I mean, the town really do show up. And I think if it wasn't for people turning up and supporting, it wouldn't have. For this festival to be sustainable, like, I've got a letter in my house that I printed out during lockdown that says from the Arts Council saying that we weren't culturally significant enough to save. And I was like, that's fine. But
how
do
they measure that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really crazy time when people were like, you know, especially within the arts, they were asking comedians to
put them all in a tutu and
your job's in cyber, you just don't know it yet. It's like, and so I think there's a real egregious attempt at trying to stifle the arts, which I think they've been trying to do for a very long time now.
Not with that.
Yeah, you can't stifle this town. This town is a, you know, but
we're at the edge of the. I was just going to swear then. We're at the edge of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to the point where you can't go any further or you'll pitch up in France.
Yeah.
This is where you prove everything. It feels like that happens with especially with the arts particularly. It's like, I'm here now, I'm going to put, you know, I'll either have to put up or shut up.
Mm.
And it doesn't feel like desperation. It feels like, this is my... It is. I've either got to do it.
And a fringe is the human experience.
Yeah.
When you go to any kind of fringe show, we're part of the Fringe Congress, and we get to go see these kind of shows, especially in Sweden and Finland. And you're like, oh, this is just the human experience in its organic form.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we went to go watch like an hour and a half interpretive dance with music, and no one said a word, but you just felt everything they were saying. I was like, that's the human experience.
Yeah.
So with comedy, it's such a human experience of like such a unique trait for humans specifically to try, like, we make each other laugh and we tell structured jokes and stuff, and I think to try and stifle that is a shame. So we're just like,
it's an
we'll
opportunity
prove you
to
wrong.
Connect.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
How many times we've sat,
we
have watched Tony Law, thank you, again and again and again.
He's the best.
He is so funny, and he's really out there, and he's very wacky, and he's not everybody's idea of humour, but my God, he's ours. And every time he comes, and you just sit there, and you have no idea how the audience is going to react.
Yeah.
But there's a hardcore of Tony Law fans, because we always see each other at every gig.
Got a surprise this summer, he's back this summer. And we got a special little prop box for him. He's like, I've known Tony for a while now. He's supported our festival for a long time, and some of the voice notes back and forth are like, "I've got you a Norman helmet with chainmail." He's like, "That sounds great, but not a pop." Yep. So I can picture him just being like, "Wearing Norman." He did one of the best jokes ad lib that I'd ever heard. It was at a gig in St. Leonard's.
And he
was talking about 1067 being the year that no one talks about, and he was saying I saw you on the battlefield in no leg, no arm. You fought really good, you did. And then he's like, "We got no legs and arms. We could go over to France and Europe and get jobs as guards. We could get jobs." And I was just in hysteria. I couldn't even focus. It was so good. So just the way he ad-libs, and same with Russell Hicks as well.
So
we're excited on Tony coming back. He's going to be at the East Hastings Anglian Club.
Nice.
It's only half sold out, so if you want to come see Tony Law, I'll sort you out.
Would you?
Yeah.
Can you just give us a date?
I'll message you. Yeah, that's going to be...
That's what we saw him last time, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got Dirty Panto on after, which is like their production company from Kent.
Nice.
There's the Embers Collective, the RH Experience, probably one of the best improv groups you'll see.
Right.
Then after that is the same group doing Giant Steps, which is a improv group with brass elements to it and brass music and stuff like that. The Piper, back to back. Really cool. Connor and his group there, they're some of the best improv individuals in the country, for sure. They're great. Yeah. We're just really lucky to have the level of talent come to and take a gamble on us a little bit and trust us, and agents trust us now, and acts, they're not emailing us, how's ticket sales going? Because that it would just be me and Jake replying to them.
Mm-hmm.
So really, they just let us just get on with it, and they just turn up, they have four rooms, and they leave, and they get to earn some money.
Yeah.
You know, we give acts 70% of everything that they earn, you know, so like we really want to support acts, you know, and the rest goes into just supporting the festival for the next year, you know. I work full time, Jake's studying pretty much full time. So this is really just a bit of a part time thing until maybe on a commercial level someone comes in and is like, "Hey, what are you guys doing here? I'm going to give you some money for like 5 years." And we'd be like, "Oh, great.
There's
my resignation."
Because there's enough to do, isn't there? To get, you know, you're doing a lot. And I was going to say thank you for, you know, representing us in these global fora, which are talking about comedy, taking Hastings. That is incredible.
Yeah. I said to Jake, this is the last one. And he goes... Because Chris, there's a rumour going around, it's the last one. It's not the last one, but I was like, 10, 10's great.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at 10. He goes, "Who are you, Quentin Tarantino?" I was like, you know, because if you stay around long enough, you become the villain.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, you know, 25 years later, I'm like, "You want tickets?" You know, it's like, "Oh, Chris, give it a rest. Stop," you know.
But going back to that, you... Like everybody who organises a festival here, the town really benefits.
Yeah, we're on our own, aren't we? We're on our own with it.
But you're on your own with it. But how well, when you say you on a Monday and a Tuesday night, a pub will sell out, and they'll be buying drinks, and people will be spending money on Airbnb or hotels or whatever. They're coming, and they're also a lot of the time not coming just for the day.
They're coming all over the country as well, by the way.
Yes.
They're coming. We've got an artist coming over from India, performing at the Pump House called Anu. She's fantastic. We've got acts coming over from Ireland, from Europe, from Scotland, from all over. So they send ensemble all over the country to come to Hastings. Yeah, their Airbnbs are getting booked up.
Yeah.
So you are on that kind of tangible economic part of it, which we don't get involved in. It is probably significant.
Definitely significant.
But this town has to kind of like, right, you know, we've got to... No one's going to come and save us.
No,
and we've seen that from, you know, from the government being like, "Well, where's Hastings? Like, we're here. Could we fix things, please?"
Yeah.
And
people are putting... And they just go, no.
Putting soil and flowers to fill up our own potholes with, you know, blue tack and stuff, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but from the ashes comes the phoenix. I think that's... You know, with what Fat Tuesday are doing now, with what's happened with the White Rock that's been taken over by the Guildhall Trust. There's good bits of artistic and with Mike at the Henry Ward Hall and stuff.
Yeah.
There's some really good spaces, and then there's really cool people that are doing some stuff. So I'm really privileged to share this space with these people in this town that are also part of that creative journey, because without them, there is no us. And
no,
sounds quite poetic, doesn't it?
But, no, it's true. Right. Philosophical, but true.
I love seeing people just enjoy themselves. Like, if people buy single tickets, I'm like, yes. I love people that buy single tickets. Yeah, I'm really intrigued. But I love that. And they'll be like, oh, I had a really bad day, but I got a ticket and I'm here. And I'm like, this is great. What else are you going to go see? Well, they've got their program and they're going from one venue to the next. And they're like, where will you go? I'll see you there in 10 minutes. And you know, me and Jake largely keep ourselves out of the kind of limelight, really. You won't see pictures of us, really. So then, so I get to hear people flick through the program. And sometimes they're like, never heard of them, who's that? And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Or they'll say, this is fantastic. So we get a bit of live feedback by just sitting next to someone, they're not knowing who we are, and they're like, this is great. And I'm like, okay, great, that's
Yeah, validating, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Our job is done.
Yeah, and it's, so Monday, what day is it?
I'm just shocked that you actually had the time to pop in and see us.
Yes,
I know this was booked months ago, because I said we need to
I was looking forward to it. Yeah.
To do this.
Yeah, so, I saw some of your podcasts and was like, it was done really well, and it's tea, and that's all I need.
I know, this is it, the job is done. So, anything else you'd like to tell us?
I'm opening up a salon. It's called Hair by Chris. They're always hair by someone, aren't they?
Lots of pictures of bald men.
Yeah.
Shiny heads.
There's a really good one on, not that I go to, on Queens Road called Hair by Joseph. And I thought, that's what I'd go to. I go to a Hair by Joseph, 100%. Yeah, but it's always like, you know, Hair by Susan. But yeah, so we outside of the festival, we run comedy nights at the White Rock Theatre, which is happening...
is that the studio?
The studio downstairs.
I love the studio now. Yeah, what they've done. Good
work. Really cool.
Isn't it cool?
And then we've got Russell Hicks doing an encore show there 10 days after the festival. So after the festival, we'll email lots of people, have a bit of a party, have a bit of an encore show. Russell Hicks will be there. So Russell Hicks and friends.
Yeah, nice.
And then, then we put it to bed, and then we're literally, I'm packing up on the Monday, and then on Tuesday I'm back at work. And usually there's like someone emailing me saying, hey Chris, you've got chairs here still.
Of course I have.
I found your PA system, it was a sum up device, or I've lost a microphone or something. Mm. So it just gets scattered across the town, and I'm just like, the town has it now, you know. But
you get it all back though, don't you? Because it's good like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, this town's great. But yeah, the odd microphone does get stolen, but I don't blame them.
Oh, they're expensive.
Yeah, I don't blame them. You know.
15 acre, at least.
It's like such a musical town. Someone's like, there's a microphone over there.
We'll have that. We'll liberate that.
Who would you say are your ones to watch at the minute? You've got loads of
I would really go and see Max Fulham at the Piper. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic young ventriloquist. I honestly feel this young lad is going to be like variety level performance in the near future, for sure. Max Fulham, followed by Ria Lena.
We love Ria Lena.
That back to back's amazing.
She's mad.
The Embers Collective, fantastic theatre group, sold out the Piper in record time.
Yeah.
They're now the East Anglian
club.
Yeah. The Secret Show is sold out at the Jenny Lind. That's sold out in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I can't tell you who that is.
I was quite fascinated by that. I went, what is this?
Yeah.
Really intrigued.
We and if I told you it was, the roads would get shut down and stuff. So we have, you turn up and see if you can get squeeze in, but upstairs Jenny Lind, 45 people crammed in.
Yeah.
I'm not even about to be there, because I'm going to be at the Newcomer of the Year competition.
Sure.
So I'm like, oh, can someone film it for me, please? Like, my friend's going to film it, and so I can watch it back later on that evening. But so there's so much going on. Definitely Max Fulham for sure.
Yeah.
I think that young chap's gonna have a fantastic career, and people will be like, oh, I saw him at the Piper like 2 years ago, and now he's doing all this. Really good levels of comedy coming to town.
Nice.
Does your family have a history of comedy? Do you think you have a granny somewhere that was a variety show singer or something like that?
I tried to trace my family tree back, you know. People say, and it just come up, I asked my nan who her mum was, and she didn't know. So I was just like, you know, so like, I should have asked her before she, you know, got over 90, you know. But my family are all fairly just ordinary people. Really. My mum, I guess, maybe so. But really, it's like, I grew up with an all-female household. So it was really just me with my sisters. And stuff. Yeah. So that kind of came out of, I don't know, people say about comedy, I mean, me at school, I'd be doing all sorts of stuff. I was never disruptive, but I would like jump out of the first floor German window,
mm-hmm.
and then make like a and it'd be like this high. Teacher would look out and go, "Can you just, you know, just stop it, you know?" Yeah. So like, and it wasn't until I was a proper adult that I was like, I could probably do this and not disturb people. So usually after the festival, I will then go out and do bits myself with my own show and go and do some gigs around the country. But this is like, takes up so much headspace.
Yeah, of course.
There's not much room to be funny sometimes.
The organisation, that's a lot of juggling, man. I mean, that's massive.
Yeah,
it's up until midnight. Up until midnight last night doing bits, designing stuff for the pump house. You know, love you, Joe, Scott.
And the venues as well. It sounds like they've all been really
accommodating. They're so cool, man. Mm. The first one we approached with the Jenny Lynn. There's a gentleman called Casey who passed away. He was a really good landlord, and he was like, just a proper East End geezer. What are you pitching me? Mm-hmm. Well, we got this idea where we got. So what we'd done was we had to speak to all the venues first. The Pump House, the Albion. Mm-hmm. These are the OGs that we reached out to, and we was like, we got some comedians that we're going to put in your space next June. And they were like, oh, yeah, sounds good. That was Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, we had to approach comedians and say, we've got some venues, and it had to happen at the same time, because if we went to the venues first, then the other one wouldn't have, we approached the comedians first, and the venue said no, then we said to comedians, we haven't got any space, so we had to do it both at the same time.
Absolutely.
And then it matched up, and we were like, oh, now we've got to do it now. But people like Joe and Bob and that from the Albion, and Joe and that from the Pump House, they're just like, same again next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they know the score. You know, every time we go in there, they go, is it another year? It comes down so quick.
Yeah.
Is it another year?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't. how much less of this have I got? Like, but we'd like to maybe get to the stage we can take on some more people, like take on some actual people that we can pay and take some of that work from us. So, next year, we're going to have to change some bits around and just to see if we can employ a couple of people just really kind of take us that next level, really. And then we can deny all the media when they come our way. So.
Well, media, come on.
If you're watching me, listen, media, we kind of don't need you now.
No,
I'm joking. I'm not joking.
No, you're not joking. Media should always support all media. We're media, we support.
Mm-hmm. And you reached out. Instantly, I was like, yes,
straight away.
You're
we're on it.
Slightly assertive.
Yeah. It's my style. I'm so sorry.
Where are you? you see the 60s building, it's this Art Deco. Damn you, James Burton.
I know, it's really funny. Yeah, I was lost my thread now. You don't let me laugh. Stop that. You're really bad. we need, everybody needs to get behind the comedy festival, because as Chris has said, you know, all the festivals are all backed onto one another.
They are.
But they're all very valuable in their own right.
Mm.
And it's what makes us a town that is so full of things to do. We quite often have to stay at home because we can't decide where we're going to go. And I know that's a malaise that we can often have, but get out there, go.
Yeah, it's a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a privilege.
Yeah,
because what my nephew said to me, he said, who brings acts like this to our town? I haven't got to get the milk train to get back from Brighton because I've been to a gig and I haven't had to go and stay, you know, find myself on a park bench with a sleeping bag because I couldn't afford to get a B&B. So the fact that it's actually happening in our town,
it's
bloody marvellous.
Yeah, I really appreciate that as well, thank you. One more thing, The Late Show with Gary Jennison. Jake's going to... Don't promote that show, Chris. So we've got a late show at the Angling Club, and then after Late Show...
Is that the flat Angling Club or the upstairs Angling Club?
Oh, the upstairs one. Yeah, one with the R and the line.
R&I.
With the stairs at the back.
I've got to do a thing about these two angling clubs.
Because you've
got the flat one, and then you've got the other one. The amount of times I've seen people queuing up outside, you're at the wrong angling club.
It's a good point.
Because they're both Hastings angling clubs, but they're just different.
Yeah, one's East Hastings.
East Hastings, yeah.
Which is an acronym. It's like ESHH something.
That's there we go, we're back there again, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, The Late Show.
And then there's The Late Late Show.
Okay, so...
Which isn't in the programme. Which I would recommend, but it is late, and it is Gary Jennison, who I think is from Hull, is one of the most naturally gifted, funny men that I've ever met, or individuals I've ever met. Gary Jennison.
Jennison.
He is a father of two, an NHS outreach mental health worker.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why they're always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Got good material.
People who work,
yeah.
Yes, why because not? The materials are, but also you have to see the side of life that it's because you don't turn it into melodrama, you turn it into something. It's a bit like when you work in the emergency services, your black humour, dark humour has to exist, otherwise you go mad.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go to work.
They say that the formula for comedy is vulnerability in timing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the formula for it. It's like you show someone a little bit of your, and then I'll put that back, you know?
Exactly.
But so Gary does that very well, and so he ended up going on stage for 3 hours. It went on to about 1 a.m. and
that's a lot of material.
Well, he didn't do any material. Like, this is the thing. But this one, he's so special. So,
is he like Ross Noble? Gets it all from the crowd?
He is the best. So he ended up, Sharon, who runs that venue, was like, can we do a break and everyone can get some drinks? And that was a perfect cue for everyone just to leave, and they all came back after the drink.
Because.
And it got to about 12:30, 1 a.m, and people were still like, people were going out and cancelling their taxis to come back in. So Gary's coming back. He's the most spontaneous up there individuals. The Late Show, which is after the Late Show at 10 o'clock on the Saturday night at the East Hastings Sea Anglian.
That's where we're going to be.
I'll be there. I'll be there as well, making sure our insurance doesn't get peaked. Like, insurance company. Yeah, Gary is going to be there.
Okay. You can do your jumping out the window.
But you don't want to do it out there because that's the one with the.
But it's so fun, and it's over in a flash. 93 shows, 7 days, 13 venues. Come and grab a pint of Wits End or whatever you fancy.
Yes, we've got to drink that.
And then and we'll put it to bed. It all goes back in storage, and then we can just move on with our lives.
Yeah. Until you start planning 6 months' time.
In October, Halloween opens up again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from June to October is my time.
Yeah.
And then October onwards is festival time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's getting there.
Wonderful. But you are doing it, and you know what? I know our town has plenty, but you bring so much of that plenty.
I appreciate that.
You do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You've been an absolute star.
This town has plenty.
It does.
Well, 6.6. Next.
We were talking about jingles as we walked
it's
in.
Yeah, yeah. It's Patsy and Kath in the morning. Join us now in this 60s Art Deco accommodation for a chat.
There you go. So we've recorded all of that.
That's
it.
There we are.
I'll isolate that.
Our town has plenty.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Gotta go.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
We're going to start.